Okay, please be seated, everyone, and we'll call our next case, which is case number 61978. It's a Nevada Rule of Appellate Procedure, Rule 5, referral on the case of Bird Underground and Wells Cargo Appellants versus Anguar LLC et al. Respondents. Okay, Mr. Zimbelman representing the appellants, and I think we have Mr. Dunlap and Mr. Meyer representing the respondents. Okay. You may proceed. Did you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. It is my fervent hope to reserve approximately 4 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
And if, may it please the court, my name is Eric Zimbelman. I represent Bird Underground LLC, and I will be making argument both on behalf of Bird and our co-lien claimant, Wells Cargo, Inc. As this court knows, this matter came to court on certified questions from the bankruptcy court, where the bankruptcy court was wrestling with some of the holdings and statements in this court's decision in J.E. Dunn. I'd like to dispense with reading those questions in their entirety as they are somewhat lengthy, and tell the court what I believe is the essence of the matter before the court today. First, did this court in J.E. Dunn intend to determine that all grading activities, as opposed to grubbing, which is a term of art in the construction trades, clearing and similar activities, did the court intend to determine that grading activities are always preparatory activities and therefore cannot be the basis of the commencement of construction of a work of improvement? Stated differently, or more positively, are grading activities actual on-site construction? Two, whereas here there were massive soil importation, 3,000 cubic yards.
I think the record said 200 to 300 truckloads. So how much was that?
The estimate was approximately 3,000 cubic yards. 200 to 300 truckloads taking several weeks of time, very large piles of material that were then strategically spread and placed for the purpose of bringing the property up to grade, and specifically in an attempt to spread the property grade even with the neighboring property for the purposes of attempting to dispense with the need for a retaining wall, a very expensive part of this work of improvement. The question I believe that the court needs to ask itself, and that I am presenting to the court, is whether these activities are that something more that the court talked about in the Aladdin decision. That's something more, that even if the grading activities alone do not provide that actual on-site construction, does the soil importation provide that something more? And I submit to the court that the answer to both questions is yes. In the limited time I have today, I hope to persuade the court of a few things. First, the grading isn't preparatory, that it is in fact actual on-site construction. Grubbing, on the other hand, is the clearing of shrubbery off of the property, in essence, or filling of holes, or sometimes loosening of the soil. Grading, obviously, is a much broader category of construction activities. And in this case, where it involved very large amounts of soil on a very limited piece of property for the purposes of raising that property. And the court has seen the photographs that have been provided by the bankruptcy court showing what this property looked like after that work had been completed. Two, that the soil importation activities, were in fact that something more, that they were provided pursuant to this plan of construction, this overall scheme of improvement that our statute says is a work of improvement, a single work of improvement. Three, that should this court fail to at least clarify its decision in Dunn, I fear that that this is already happening in the district courts, that all grading activities will simply be deemed not visible.
Well, it's my understanding in Dunn, and it was at the end of the opinion, there was a quotation from an Arkansas case of those General Electric refers to, it says it uses the term grading, it's not an improvement.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So is it your position that when we in Dunn cited that Arkansas case, that may be, that Arkansas, even though it does say grading in that case, that may be inconsistent with Nevada law and our
state? I believe so, and let me tell you why. The Arkansas case, the direct quote is that the weight of authority seems to be that clearing, grading, and filling of land do not constitute the commencement of construction of a building. Now, our statute doesn't talk about commencement of construction of a building. It talks about the commencement of construction of a work of improvement. And a work of improvement is a single work of improvement in all but two very limited circumstances. One is where there are separate contracts for separate buildings on separate parcels. That is plainly not the case here. And two is when there is a separate contract and it is anticipated by the contracts to be a site preparation contract only. So, for example, you're being hired to create a building pad. That can be a separate work of improvement. But in this case, we had an engineering plan and we had a construction contract that was entered into with the general contractor, Atlas Construction, that provides for the ground to be prepared, for the site to be prepared, and for the building to be placed on top of that site. And the activities that occurred here were actually part of that construction activity. They were not a previous contract or a prior work of improvement. They were
but
a single work
of
improvement.
What do you do with the we're bound by what the district court or the bankruptcy court certified to us, and that includes the certification order and the findings of fact. And Judge Beasley pretty clearly says neither Dow nor Charles Dimmock had a written contract with the owners of the subject property or anyone authorized by the owners to provide services. Now, Dow and Dimmock were the people who brought the dirt and put it on the property, right?
That is correct.
And then Judge Beasley goes further. It's undisputed that neither Dow nor Dimmock received any money for providing work on this contract. So they didn't have a contract and they weren't paid. Isn't it just a fortuity that that dirt got there? I mean, what would it be if in the middle of the night somebody came with 300 trucks and dumped all this dirt and it was unauthorized? Is that the point of difference?
That's possible. However, this is plainly not the case.
But if that were the case, where would we be?
Well, first of all, the lien statute does not require either payment. It also does not require a contract. However, I would submit to the court that there was a contract. And the contract was a verbal contract between, in this case, let's ignore Dimmock for a minute, but just take Dow. The court, the owners arranged with Dow to bring him their dirt and to save himself a lot of money and to save them a lot of money. There was consideration.
It was a win-win type of deal. But bear with my question for just a moment.
Yes.
If those facts weren't there and it happened that adjacent construction was going on and the people just put the dirt on the other person's property and there was this plan to build it so nobody kicked up a big fuss, would that still constitute visible work of improvement?
Well, I would submit that it does because of the way that earth, that dirt was put to use. It was put to use for and was in fact incorporated into that work of improvement. This wasn't like somebody dumped some dirt.
So that's the distinction? If the people who came in the middle of the night and put dirt on your property, unbeknownst to you, and then you said, oh, well, hey, this is a good deal. It's, you know, I can use this dirt, so I'm going to use it. Then in that circumstance, you would say that is visible commencement of construction?
I believe it could be, Your Honor. However,
okay.
Let me say further, it doesn't need to be, because in this case, that's not clearly not what happened. There is a very extensive record at the bankruptcy court that shows that this was something the owner orchestrated, that this is something the owner wanted to have, and that this is something the owner arranged for the purpose of, granted, jumping the gun a little bit, but getting the owner the massive amounts of soil that they needed to build this work of improvement. So this wasn't just some gratuitous dumping of dirt, as I think the respondents would like the court to believe. It's plainly not the case. And there, remember, this came to the bankruptcy court on competing motions for summary judgment. And so there are certainly facts on both sides. And I'm not going to sit here and tell the court today that our facts are all 100% true and theirs are 100% false. We feel very strongly in our facts. And those facts have an opportunity and should be given an opportunity to be heard and decided by the bankruptcy court. And that is
all that is. Yeah, that brings up maybe a follow-up on that question Justice Pickering raised. There's three sub-issues in the certified question. That the timing of the placement of the dirt was issue one. Issue two was the grading versus grubbing argument. Issue three was the grading sufficient. Yeah, my initial reaction on at least the third part is that might be a genuine issue of material fact that the trier of fact would have to determine, as opposed to us on an NRAP 5 certification, where perhaps we could address issues 1 and 2.
Well, I think that that's what the bankruptcy court was struggling with, Your Honor, and I think that's why he certified this to this court. Because he's looking at the J.E. Dunn decision, and he says, geez, it says clearing and grading, and there were definitely some grading activities here, and I just can't decide these issues on competing motions for summary judgment without some directive from the court. I believe this court can say to the bankruptcy judge, frankly, I think the court can rule on the record before it, but at the very least can tell this bankruptcy judge, you may consider this soil importation, you may consider these grading activities, and you may evaluate whether these activities were visible and whether they constitute the commencement of construction of this work of improvement. And that is what we'd like this court to rule today.
Well, it's interesting that there's been this discussion between grading and grubbing when in 108.22.128, improvement is defined in subsection 6 to include grading, grubbing, filling, or excavating. It seems like the Dunn case overstated clearing and grading. The question is whether or not the grading, grubbing, filling, or excavating as acts of improvement are visible.
Absolutely, and I think that's the question.
Isn't that the essence of the Dunn decision?
That is the essence of the decision, Your Honor, and that's what we're asking
the judge to decide. Hasn't resolved that in his statement of facts.
I don't think he did. I think he was reluctant to do so without further direction from this court. Can these activities be visible? Absolutely. Is grading usually visible? Absolutely. And should the court be precluded from
making
that evaluation?
Well, it's really a separate question. It isn't just whether it's visible. It's whether it's visible and relates to the overall work of improvement, because the Nevada Lien Statute treats the work of improvement as one consonant project.
That is correct, and we agree with that 100%, and that is exactly our position, that all of this must be evaluated on the facts before the trier of fact.
Okay. Did you want to reserve the balance of your time?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Meyer, you're going to go first. Okay.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice Givens, Justices, may it please the Court. My name is Glenn Meyer. I'm pleased to be here before you this afternoon to have the opportunity to speak on behalf of U.S. Bank, who is the successor in interest to the construction lender for this project. I am going to address some of the issues that have been briefed to the court. Mr. Dunlap is going to address other issues, particularly the issues surrounding whether there is a separate work of improvement, sort of the timing issues, Justice Gibbons, as you noted, and the question that was in the certified questions about permitting. I'll be addressing the remaining issues, although I'll obviously field whatever questions you have for me. I think it's important to start on a procedural point, and that is the strictures that you are under pursuant to NRAP 5, and specifically the fact that you have to stay within the facts as found in the certification order that were provided to you. And I would submit that the bulk of the argument that you heard from the appellants in this case really, in fact, urged you to make factual findings. And rather try and go through a laundry list, I mean, we cited in our brief the length of time they spent on supplemental facts in their brief. Let me just go to one particular issue that I think really draws that into relief, which is you heard from the appellants just now that there was no doubt that this, they call it soil importation activities, I call it dumping dirt, but that there's no doubt that it was done at the direction of the owners. And in fact, that's a question, or that's a fact that's not within the certified facts that are in front of you in the certification order. And the reason that's not is because that's a highly disputed question of fact in front of the bankruptcy court.
Well, I think, Mr. Mar, I believe under NRAP 5, we can only address the legal issues that
correct.
Are certified, so it's up to the trier of fact to deal with the factual correct. Issues. So getting to legal issues, why don't you just get to those and the ones you're going to address and your co-counsel
sure.
can address so, his as well.
So let me start with the J.E. Dunn question, and you've been openly invited to revisit the finding from just a few years ago that was a unanimous en banc decision of this court. And I believe
well,
that
not the whole of it. We've been invited to answer one question, whether the final holding overstated clearing and grading as opposed to clearing and something else without taking into consideration 108-2218, which includes grading, rubbing, excavation, all of those things as part of the improvement. If this court were to clarify the Dunn decision and say that all of those matters are defined by statute to be part of a work of improvement or part of the improvement, then the court could proceed, the bankruptcy court could proceed to decide whether or not this work fits within an improvement, could it not?
Well, except I think the question of whether it fits within the term work of improvement isn't really the issue here. And I think that the focus on the two words, clear or three words, clearing and grading.
Why isn't it? Because the Dunn case dealt with an architect who hung up a signpost, and frankly, that was what the decision was all about. Here we're dealing with quite a bit different set of facts.
Well,
who put the dirt there and why? It certainly was visible, or it must have been visible. There's a whole lot more dirt.
Right. And actually, Your Honor, the claimant in the J.E. Dunn case was not the architect. J.E. Dunn was the general contractor on that project who was claiming that all of the pre-construction work they did, specifically defined as lienable work by the Nevada legislature, entitled them to priority, even though the bulk of that work was done off-site. And this court correctly said, no, we have a separate standard for priority and for what triggers the commencement of construction that allows you to leapfrog priority, and that's this visibility standard. And what's really important is not it's not just literal visibility. If you open your eyes and point your face in that direction, do you perceive it? That would be just strictly visibility. And under that case, the work in Dunn, I would say, would have met the standard because you'll recall there were some power lines overhead on the lot that were removed from the site. There was the sign. Now, that's a limited amount of activity, but it's still visible.
A sign sitting on someone else's adjacent property.
And the power lines.
Isn't the question whether the improvement, as defined in our statute, is visible?
No, Your Honor. I believe that the question is it so visible and is the particular matter that is visible, is that such that a lender doing a reasonable inspection of the property as it's getting ready to attach the lender's security interest to the property, are they going to be on notice, hey, I might be behind mechanics liens? And that's what's really important to understand about the standard that's urged on you by the appellants in this case. They have said the standard should be, was there anything done that visibly altered the condition of the site from its virgin condition? Well, if that's the case, then if I walk onto a piece of property and pull one bush off, I have visibly altered it from its virgin condition.
But here you have 200 to 300 truckloads of dirt, and I guess it's a factual issue, so the trier of fact is going to have to resolve that, but it appears that something might be noticeable if it's placed around the property, and apparently it was subsequently incorporated into the property. I mean, it's not like removing a short one shrub or something, so isn't that a distinction?
Well, but that is a distinction, but that's not a distinction that they would have you draw, because, again, the standard that they urge on you is, did whatever we are claiming commenced construction visibly altered the site from its virgin condition. That's the standard that they've urged.
That might be an issue of fact, though, like that. I guess the question Justice Hardesty was alluding to is, do we need to clarify Dunn as to the issue of grading and all, as it's referenced in NRS 108.2218?
Well, and that's where I think the holding in Dunn has been really a little miscast before this court. Because, again, we focused on those three words of clearing and grading. And actually, what you said in Dunn was, other courts have more generally held, and we agree, that preparatory work on a site, and then you give examples, such as clearing and grading, is not sufficient to constitute commencement of construction. And I would submit to you that there's a very simple reason why that preparatory work does not constitute commencement of construction. Because when you're done with the preparatory work, what you've got is exactly what you had in this case, a vacant lot. It's a flat piece of vacant land. And there's been all this talk about, well, it's 3,000 yards and 200 or 300 truckloads, and it took all this time for them to do it. We don't know exactly when it was done. But the end result, the snapshot that the lender sees when they go to inspect the property immediately before recording their security interest is a flat, vacant piece of land.
But if it's cleared and all, and there's dirt, new dirt put down, and it's not just desert rock and sand, I mean, that's visible as well. I mean, you can kind of tell if something's in a construction zone and a site, and you have to clear it and grade it before you can commence any construction. It doesn't look different than just raw desert.
It may look different than raw desert, but it doesn't look any different than if I own a piece of property that I want to put on the market and I want it to kind of look nice for people. Mm-hmm. And so I hire somebody to come out and smooth it out.
Okay.
That's what it looks like. And that would give nobody any indication that a construction project would be about.
But isn't that an ultimate issue that the trier of fact has to determine, the sufficiency? I mean, we don't know where these piles of dirt were in relationship to the size of the parcel. At least, I'm sure it's in the record, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. And usually that's what judges do when they take evidence and all, to kind of sort through that.
Sure. But I think what Judge Beasley is looking for you to do is to tell him, okay, once I find these facts, what is my standard? What measuring stick do I hold these against? Hold these up to? And I would strongly argue that you absolutely cannot adopt the standard that the lien claimants here are urging you to adopt, and that you should adopt. You should really just maintain the standard that you set forth in Dunn, which is site preparatory work is not commencement of construction. And in the Clark case from Arkansas, in the E.W. Allen case from Utah, both of those cases contain extensive review of other authorities that have looked at the issue of commencement of construction. And to a court, they have all held that site preparation does not constitute commencement of construction. And that's what you have, I think, that on the record that's in front of you, because you've got those photographs and you can see that we've got, after this soil importation activity is being completed, that you've got a flat vacant piece of land. At most, that is a prepared site. That is a site that has been made ready for construction, but it's not one that construction has commenced on. And they have not pointed to you one single case from any court in the land where somebody dumping dirt onto a piece of property and smoothing it out constituted commencement of construction. Not one single authority in the land has held that.
Mr. Meyer, do you want to give the rest of the time to your
co-counsel? I do want to reserve the rest of the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Craig Dunlap for Angauer. I want to focus on the formation of the contract and the separate prime contract issue. This instruction that Dimmick and Dow were given to dump dirt on this property, alleged instruction, it was either Dow and Dimmick are illegal trespassers and they dumped dirt there without authority, or they received an instruction from the debtors that they could dump the dirt there and spread it around. And the dirt was dumped not only on this property but on the two parcels next to it, and it was spread around. So in 2006, Atlas first visits the site. Sometime before September of 2006, this dirt gets dumped. In November 8th of 2006, Atlas is hired to build a strip mall on the site. Prior to being hired, Atlas calls Bird back to the site. They dig holes and they check this dirt, because when Atlas walked on the site in November of 06, he was surprised to see the dirt there. He sees the dirt there, he adjusts his bid in light of the dirt, as does Bird. After those bids are adjusted, Atlas is hired as general contractor for the site. On the 28th of that month, the site inspection takes place. The guy goes out there, looks, says it's vacant ground. There's nothing here. 29th, the trustees records. December 5th, the first permit issues on the property, which is a dust permit. And the actual building construction permit is not pulled until July of 07, over 8 months later. So what you have is a situation where you either have a trespasser dumping dirt, or you had a verbal contract between the debtors and Dow and Dimmick saying, you can dump your dirt here. They went ahead and dumped it, and then they were done. They never had anything else to do with the property. They never had a contract of any kind. They were never paid. They never requested payment. They were never a lien claimant within the terms of the statute. You have to hyper-technically read the statute to say that they were a lien claimant, given that they never had any right to be paid. The dirt.
So would you say then that this dumping of dirt could have been commencement of construction if it had been under contract with the owner?
If I think
and paid for, as opposed to however this dirt got there?
I think there's two ways to view that. One is, I don't think it's commencement because it's a separate prime contract. Okay. Dow and Dimmick are asked only to dump dirt, nothing more, and they never do anything else. Months after that, the general contractor is hired. What is he hired to do? He's hired to take a prepared site that already has the dirt there to a completed strip mall. That's his assignment. That's his work of improvement. His work of improvement doesn't date back to 4 months before he was hired.
Didn't the general contractor use that dirt as far as preparation of the property?
Mm-hmm. Well, the debtor would have been the one who directed the dirt there, allegedly.
But so wasn't it utilized? It wasn't removed from the property?
It was utilized. It was utilized, yeah.
Okay.
You're trying to argue a separate contract.
Yes.
But let's say it's all of a piece. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing that the general did, was to hire somebody to dump some dirt on the ground because it was going to be used in the construction, so they didn't have to make a retaining wall. Would that then be the commencement of construction because it's visible and it's under the contract?
That would depend on how this court interprets the visibility requirement. I mean, I think that would get around the separate prime contract argument.
Mm-hmm.
If the general had actually been the one to call them and say, come dump your dirt here, that would get around the separate prime contract issue that I think is present in this case. But it would still leave you with the linchpin of priority is visibility. I mean, the court has to make a decision. I think part of what Glenn is basically saying is, as a matter of law, are you going to say, look, it's a piece of ground with dirt on it. It's not a big pile of dirt. It's not a big pile of building materials. It's just a vacant lot with dirt on it in an area where there's lots of construction going on. This is on Decatur, down near the Southern Beltway. You look at the aerials, the place across the street is building a strip mall. Down the road, they're putting in pipelines. You've got all that activity there. If you go out there and there's been some dirt, and it looks like dirt and it's churned up, how do you know whether the dirt came from that side or from another side?
So you would say, as a matter of law, dumping dirt on the property could never be the commencement of construction?
I would say, as a matter of law, a vacant lot that had some dirt dumped on it months earlier could not possibly put a lender on notice that this could be the commencement of work. I think that could be a rule that the court would adopt. I think there were a couple of other issues that I'm going to run out of time on, but one of them that the court seemed to be interested in is the fact that the dirt dump was not permitted and was illegal. Statute doesn't really address that. Bankruptcy courts seem to be interested in that. If this court was, they could take that up.
Okay. Thank you very much. Counsel, you've got about a little over 3 minutes. Sir.
Your Honor, I would submit that the respondents are asking this court to change the visibility rule in Nevada to require, in essence, vertical construction in order to have visible work of improvement. And that is not what
the definition of work of improvement states. A work of improvement is the overall scheme of improvement and not just some vertical rise of that scheme of improvement. It was suggested that only if Atlas had called out Dow to bring the soil to the site, could this be part of this work of improvement? That is just legally incorrect. There can be multiple contracts on one work of improvement. That happens all the time, where there are multiple prime contracts on a single overall work of improvement. Only if the site improvements themselves were anticipated to be a work of improvement to be done before the commencement of any other improvements on the site, only then could that be a separate work of improvement. Here, not only were those was the soil importation activities not the completion of the site improvement, it was part of it, it was not the completion of those improvements, but it was only part of this overall scheme of improvement. And there is no indication that it was a work of improvement in and of itself.
So if the soil had been placed on the property a decade before, and the owner at the time of the testimony in this case testified that at that time I really didn't know what I was going to do with this land, that soil would not be part of the work of improvement.
Well, if that had been the case, we wouldn't have engineering plans calling for the importation of 3,000 cubic yards of soil. But that just simply is non-factual in this case.
I asked you a hypothetical.
I think
under my hypothetical.
I understand. And what I think you're asking, Your Honor, is how far back can we go, right? Do we go back to the first shovel overturned? Of course not. The court has ruled that. We are certainly not arguing that. However, in this case, you have a witness, a professional property inspector, who did not go out to the site the second time. He had been the original inspector. And they did not call him out for the inspection a year later when there was a new loan made on this property. And that is the loan that ultimately ended up in the hands of U.S. Bank. But that inspector was asked to testify and to review the inspection report, such as it is, and the photographs attached to that inspection report, which are Exhibit 3 that the bankruptcy court sent up to you. And those photographs, he said, in looking solely at those photographs, he determined that this was, in fact, evidence of work of improvement. And he would have alerted the title company who would have retained him that they should ask some questions.
So that becomes a case-by-case factual inquiry. That becomes a case-by-case factual inquiry.
Well, this is true.
Is what you're indicating.
I think that is absolutely true where there's these types of activities. I mean, we're not suggesting that the court revisit Aladdin or Dunn and start suddenly saying that architectural plan drawings and putting survey stakes in the ground somehow is now actual on-site construction. It's not. It's preparatory. This, on the other hand, is actual on-site construction, and it was pursuant to the plans, and it was visible, and it was obvious. And with all due respect to my opponent, it's not like cleaning up your yard for sale. That might be grubbing. This was something substantially different. And again, I think that's what the bankruptcy court was wrestling with and why he sent these questions to you.
Thank you, Justice Douglas.
Just real quickly, your opponent is saying Dunn stands for what it stands for, preparatory work. Your position is preparatory work is slightly out of line than in Dunn?
No, our position is that what's wrong with Dunn is the statement, the conflation of the words grubbing and grading. In other words, had the court simply said preparatory work such as clearing and grubbing, I'm not sure we'd even be here today. But because the court used the term clearing and grading, it opened up a whole new swath of activities that, in fact, are actual on-site construction. And that, in my view, is the heart of the issue.
Thank you very much. Thank you both, counsel. Excellent argument and briefs. And thank you for getting this case submitted to us. And we'll take it under submission.
Thank you.